Hey, you guys, it's your girl Charisse Rose, and you are tuned in to the Hot Spot Lounge. Mwah!
Me and Romeo ain't never been friends. Can't you see how much I'm really loving? Gonna sing it to you time and time again. Oh, Casanova. Casanova. Man deserves a good woman, and I want you to be my wife. Time is so much better spent, baby, with a woman just like you in my life. So let me love you, fill you up inside. I want to hold you, baby. So let me squeeze you. Don't you know that I'll get down on my knees for you, babe? You see, I ain't much on Casanova. Me and Romeo ain't never been friends. Can't you see how much I really love you? Gonna sing it to you time and time again. Oh, Casanova. Casanova. Oh, Casanova. Casanova. Every time I wanna see you, can't find the words to tell you so. But love, I love, I love, I love, I love you, babe. And I just got to let you know how much I need you. Show you what you mean to me each day, babe. So let me hold you. Keep it safe and warm, I'll be your sweetheart, babe. Baby, baby, baby. And when I told you, girl, I'm an average guy, you seem to know just how I really feel. Cause I can't let you go. I need you, I want you to stay right here with me.
Yo, 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 what's going on, fam? This your boy, C Boogie, and this the Hot Spot Lounge. We come to y'all every night, every Sunday night, around 9 o'clock.
Around
9 o'clock. So just be ready around 9 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? People are like, oh, y'all late, woo, woo. We say around 9 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? So, I got a special co-host here with me tonight.
Tenderoni,
Miss T. Roni in the house.
Something
about a Roni. Miss T. Roni. So this her first time with us. Y'all bear with her, man. You know what I'm saying? We gonna do this. We got Sarah J. Not late, man. Sarah J. here. Come on, y'all gotta relax,
calm
man.
Down.
Before we get to Sarah J., I got, you know, a few announcements. Our podcast about to be on Patreon now. It's gonna be $5 to view. Just $5. That's it. We've been giving y'all free content every Sunday for like 3 years, maybe two years, but free, like fire content too, no bullshit. Y'all don't know how hard it is to come here every Sunday night and bring like A1 people in the adult industry every Sunday. I know it might look easy because I make it look good and shit, but that shit not easy. You know what I'm saying? So $5, that's it. And you're going to get like some exclusive stuff too. You might see a titty or something here. Who knows? You know what I mean? But $5, that's all. So no further ado, I know everybody came here to see Miss Sarah J. I hope you ready over there, Miss Sarah J. T-Roni, is you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready, T-Roni?
I'm ready.
All right, T-Roni.
Let's go.
Oh, before we get to that, hand me the...
Yeah.
T-Roni, tell them about that right there. Tell them about that, T-Roni.
The CBD hemp wine, Josie Roselle. CBD hemp wine, Josie Roselle.
How can they get that?
How can they get it? What they got to do, contact through...
T_Roni_ for your hemp CBD wine, A100. We just opened the bottle 3 minutes ago.
Hey,
gone.
When I tell y'all know I don't plug no bullshit. This shit A1.
It's good.
A1 like the sauce, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
With that being said, we going right to Miss Sarah J. Miss Sarah J, we coming right to you. Honey Bun. Y'all get a round of applause when y'all see Miss Sarah J come through here. Hey, there she go. Yay. Hey, how you doing tonight, Miss Sarah J?
I'm good. How are you?
We doing good. You can hear us clear and all that?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We hear you perfectly fine.
Good.
And you looking good, too. I see you over there. So, I don't know if you ever seen this show, but we ask all the tough, hard questions all the fans want to know. We're not Wendy Williams or nothing. So if you want to just be like, I don't want to answer that, you can say pass. I don't want to answer that.
Perfect.
That's cool. So I'm gonna start off easy though. Let's tell the people where you from.
Okay. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio originally, but I live in Miami, Florida now.
Okay, you from Cincinnati. So you grew up in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
How was it?
I was like 21.
Okay. How was it growing up in Cincinnati?
I grew up poor, so like it was. It was all right. Like, I grew up with my mom. Like, my parents got divorced when I was, like, 11. So, I don't know. I worked, got my first job when I was 11 years old.
Where you worked at 11?
At a bar.
At a bar?
At a bar. And I cleaned dishes. Like, I did the dishes in the bar.
How did you get a job at 11 at a bar? Like, they allowed you to go in there and wash dishes?
Okay, so my parents went in there all the time. They were in there all the time, and so...
They were customers.
They would take me in there, because I'm, like, an only child, and so I would sit in there and, like, do my homework. And then when my homework was done, I was just bored, and I would play video games, like a little trivia game or whatever they have at the bar.
Right.
Know? And they needed a dishwasher one day, and I was like, I can wash dishes. It's not a big deal.
Got you. So... When your parents divorced, how did that affect you, like, as a child? Did that affect you in a negative way anyway?
It affected me in a positive way.
Okay. How so?
Yeah, their marriage wasn't the greatest, and, like, it didn't take a rocket scientist to see that. So, like, just to know that, like, there was, like, peace in the house, you know?
Right.
It's always good to have, like, peaceful life.
Right.
That's good.
Right.
You understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... When you was growing up in Cincinnati, like, what was your environment like? Did you grow up in a multiracial type environment or straight just? How was it?
No, all white people. I grew up on, like, the poor side of the, like, suburbs, you uh-huh. know? And so, it was, like, I always lived in that area that's, like, they just barely make it into the good school districts, you know? Like,
right.
That one street where, like, on this side of the street goes to, like, the bad school, and on this side of the street goes to the good school. So, like, yeah, I grew up with a bunch of, like, kind of slightly wealthy white people.
Hey, and you was poor, but you was growing up around wealthy white people.
Yes.
How, did you fit in when
like,
you was...
Like, a lot of my friends' parents were, like, doctors and lawyers and shit.
Right.
My parents... did landscaping.
did you find yourself, was you an outcast while you was growing up, like in school, was you an outcast or did you fit in pretty much?
In like grade school, I was definitely an outcast, like really bad. Like I got bullied and everything.
Mm.
And then like once I got to high school, I kind of found my groove. I like hung out with a bunch of other people that were weird and like we were just weird together.
So when did you have sex for the first time? Doom, doom. Let's get to it.
I was 18.
18?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you kind of late bloomer. That's kind of late. Like, T-Roni, that ain't late.
I guess because I'm the only child and I hung out at a bar. Like, I was really interested in men and not boys. So, yeah, I waited until I was 18 just so they wouldn't get in trouble.
So, you didn't do anything like no oral sex, nothing, nothing?
Oh, yeah, no, I did all that other shit, just not actual like intercourse, like penetration.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. No, I think I probably gave had like 15.
You said you got, you said what at 15?
I probably gave had it like 15.
At 15? Mm-hmm. To somebody like your boyfriend or something?
No. That would just be too easy. No, like I had like a group of friends that I hung out with, and every now and then we get like drunk in the woods or some shit. And, yeah, I'm like, let me try a second dick. Let me see what happens.
Yeah. That sounds lit. Okay, I like that. I like that. So at 18, when you did finally give it away, like, how was that? Like, was it a something you
uneventful?
For real. what made it that way? Like, why was it uneventful?
Like obviously, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. Like back then, like you know, there was no internet porn, by the way.
Oh,
like that really changed this, like, all of society, to be honest with you. Because like back then, like if I wanted some like instruction on like how I should be doing this, I would have to get like a VHS tape somewhere, like this big huge.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's different. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm sure I probably just starfished. I most likely just laid there, like I was trying to like figure it out. But and then, like, I don't remember it lasting incredibly long, and I was like, wow, that was it, huh?
How old was he? Like, did he know what he was doing?
He was 36.
Oh, shit. I hope he knew what he was doing. God damn.
Yeah.
36. So, speaking of porn, like, when's the first time you saw a porn?
Where's the first time I went?
You saw a porn.
The very first time I saw a porn, like, I lived in a really fun household. My parents were always, like, playing jokes on me and stuff. I remember one time I had like a bunch of friends over, and my mom was like, "Oh, I've got a movie for you guys to watch. So let's pop in a movie, you know." So you would pop in a VHS tape into the VCR, and she did it like just to make like just because it was funny, you know. It wasn't only on for like maybe 5 minutes, I think, maybe if that. And we're like, "What the fuck? Like, it's crazy. This really was going on." That was the first time I ever experienced any kind of like pornography at all. And then I got married at a pretty young age. I got married at 19. Ooh. And my husband would have porn laying around, and we would watch them together.
Who were some of your favorite people to watch?
Okay, so, like, first of all, back again, the tapes. You know, you just, I don't know, you've got, like, stacks and stacks of tapes sitting around, and you're, like, a legitified, like, certified, like, perv. You know? So, like, we only had, like, a couple tapes. And I remember the one that we probably watched the most was Seymour Butts Goes Deep Inside Shane.
My man Seymour Butts.
The rotation, yeah. And then, like, you know, I don't think the porn, we started getting into, like, looking for porn. Like, that would just be, like, whatever was laying around. I don't know. I think he'd swap them out with his brothers and stuff.
Right,
you know, like,
yeah.
They would trade. So, like, yeah, then I don't think we actually started buying our own pornos until, like, I was in porn. And then we didn't really have to buy them anymore.
And
just watched the ones
I was in. Yeah. So this is before the DVD era even. This is VHS before even DVDs.
My first, like, maybe 15, 20 movies
were
all on VHS.
VHS. All right. So you got married at 19, you said, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't to the guy you lost your virginity to when you was 18.
No, it was not.
I'm just saying, it's a little quick turnaround there. So, why did you get married so early?
I found the man that I wanted to be with. Like, I was certain of it. Like,
at 19.
Yeah, I felt right. Yeah, at 19, at 43, I look back and I'm like.
So how old was he?
When I was 19, he was 25.
Okay, that ain't too bad. 19, 25, that ain't too bad.
Yeah.
So when y'all get married,
so 6 years.
When y'all get married, mm-hmm. How do you go about getting into the adult industry?
Like such a good question, you know. So like when he met me, I started working, like I said, at 11. I was working 4 jobs and going to college full time when he met me, and I didn't know any other way. Like, my parents were really hard workers. They provided a decent life for me, even though we were kind of poor. It wasn't like fucked up poor. We were just like poor, you know.
Right.
And so like I just worked all the time. That's all I knew. And he was like, you know, you could probably work less if you started stripping. And I was like, stripping? Like, me? Are you serious? And I just didn't even think of myself as, like, a sexual being like that, you know? Like, I definitely didn't think that I would be, like, hot enough to be a stripper. And then I started stripping. Little by little, like, all the jobs that I had, like, I would, like, quit one and I'd quit another. And, like, once I got more confidence, like, financially, I'd quit another one. And, then I thought, I was a stripper for a little while, and I was doing really well, and I was working near a casino in Indiana, and I was like, yo, if I'm making this much money working at near a casino in Indiana, what if I moved to Vegas? And so we moved to Vegas.
Okay.
And yeah, like, when I got there, I thought it was gonna be like shit tons of money, you know, like shit tons. But really, it wasn't that big of a difference, because like my cost of living was a little higher, and now I'm working, instead of like a small environment with like maybe 15 girls in like a small bar, I'm working these huge colossal bars with like 300 girls. So there's like I was a big fish in a small pond, and now I'm like a small fish in a big pond.
Right.
So it wasn't that much more money. I mean, I was like, I was doing all right, but it was like, and I was putting up with so much more drama. Like, 300 girls in, like, one shift, there's fights,
right.
There's drugs, there's, like, crying, there's weird, all kinds of stuff,
right.
You know? And it's stressful, and sometimes, again, you start searching for peace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't want to go to work today because these bitches are crazy, you
know? Right.
<Yeah. laughs>
But I liked all the rest of it. Like, I liked being naked, I liked dancing, I'm, like, a pretty good dancer, you know? I liked all that, and so I started to look for ways out, but to still be in the sex industry. So there was a girl that I worked with that did porn, and, you know, I was familiar with porn, you know, like, not, like, super, super familiar, but as you, I just explained, like, you know, we watched it here and there, and I would always look at the back of the box covers and be like, damn, they look like they're having a fucking good time. This looks like a great time, you know? So, when I talked to this girl, and she connected me with my first shoot, which, didn't really end up going anywhere, but not my fault. It was, like, the guy sucked, and the production company sucked, and, like, whatever. And so then I did a couple shoots here and there, and I was, like, I'd already done some, like, naked modeling for photographers, so I'm, like, super comfortable in front of the camera, and the clubs that I danced at were always nude clubs, so I'm, like, totally comfortable, like, bearing my soul to, like, population, you know, so that wasn't, like, an issue, and I really like sex, and so I was, like, well, fuck it, I like sex, people like watching me, I don't have a problem with it, it's all gonna work out, and then I just kind of, like, kept on pursuing that. I had talked to, obviously, before I made the initial decision, I was like, hey, babe, what do you think if I do porn? You know, and he was, like, really actually very supportive. He was like, do whatever you want to do. I was like, cool. So, yeah, we took some pictures, Polaroid pictures. We put them on a floppy disk, and then I just started emailing them to people, like, until I'd email them to, like, photographers and producers and webmasters and stuff, people I didn't know, just random email addresses, until somebody gave me a nice break and introduced me to a whole bunch of people.
And then boom.
Damn,
it
boom.
Happened.
Yeah. A lot of kids ain't gonna know them terms you're using with floppy disks and Polaroid picture. They don't know about them.
Yeah. It's so crazy for me too, because, like, I don't feel old, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm old. Like, when you start thinking about that kind of shit, you're like, oh my god, that was so long ago.
Right. So after you do, like, your first scene, how do you tell your friends and family about it, if you do tell them?
So, out when I was tripping, you know, like, that's kind of, like, especially back then, things were different back then, for sure, like, people's outlook on sexuality and sex workers and all that stuff is different, strippers, totally different, so even going through, like, the whole stripper thing was kind of, like, a little bit of a challenge. It was, like, I told my mom I was doing some nude modeling, and then I told her, like, you know, I told her, well, I did tell her I was dancing, and then once I started doing porn, I was like, yeah, I do, like, some nude modeling on video, you know?
Nude modeling, like, on video.
One step at a time. Ease it in a little bit. Step by step.
I really want to say porn to my mom, you know? It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's like a harsh word. We should have a better word than porn.
Right?
So it's just like, yeah, like, I don't know. And then one day, it just, like, started flowing in our conversation. Like, she knew, I knew, like, we just knew.
Just knew, yeah. Yeah, so.
And, like, my parents are cool with that kind of shit. Like, they're not, like, enthusiasts. But at the same time, they're like, as long as your character remains the same and you're the same, like, good, kind, loving person, it doesn't really matter what you do for a living as long as you're happy with it.
Exactly.
Got you. You always had that body, like, growing up, like, the big butt and all that.
I mean, I bought my boobs, but even my old boobs were, like, really nice. I was, like, a small D, large C.
Yeah. So, like,
I've always had hips and butt.
Growing up around all the white people and stuff, did they appreciate that, or did they tease you about it? Like, how did it make you feel about your body?
I didn't get teased about being thick, that's for sure. But it just depends on what side of town you were on.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, like, my cousin lived on the other side of town, and I used to go see my cousin sometimes, and we'd go to teen dances, and I was like, oh, your ass. I was like, oh, my ass? I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a thing. So your first shoot, after you do your first shoot, are you nervous, like, doing your first shoot, or are you all in? You say you love sex.
So hyped up and so excited.
What?
Like, this is, like, something I've been wanting to do, and I'm like, let's do this, you know? Like, it was very exciting for me. And everybody else there was already, like, kind of jaded, like, another day at work, you know? And
yeah.
Like, yes, so it just gets you there. You just move on it. It's just like a natural...
Yeah,
I love it. Okay.
So
I want it to look good. I want it to feel good. I, like, want everybody to be happy. I want, like, yeah, let's do this.
Right, okay. Right.
I get excited about producing, like, images that inspire other people, you know?
Right, yeah. So after your first scene, are you thinking in your head, I'm about to make this a career, this is what I'm about to do, or are you thinking this is a short-term thing?
Well, it's definitely in my personality. Like, I do everything I do it, like, all the way.
Got you. Yeah.
That's just the way I am. Like, I could be an accountant, and I would be, like, the best accountant. I'd be winning accountant awards, and I would make a lot of money being an accountant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And that's just my personality.
Right, right. So, when you get into knee deep in the industry now, how's your husband feeling about all... Now you really in it. Maybe he might have thought at first it wasn't going to be that serious, but now you're all the way in. How's your husband feeling when you really into it?
You know, he was always, like, verbally really supportive of me. Like, everybody wants to hear, like, a different story, but the fact is, like, he was always like, you know, do whatever you want to do. It's, like, up to you, you know? Like, he always... gave me a lot of self-esteem and made me, like, have really strong confidence. Like, I always felt like I never really paid too much attention to myself, but he would always tell me I looked good and, you know, like, I had a nice ass and that, you know, like, I was pretty and then, yeah. You know, blah, blah. And so that kind of, like, always, like, boosted me, actually. And even he was like that, like, pretty much the whole time. I think a lot of our problems were because I got divorced. I've been divorced for, like, 13 years or something. A lot of our problems were just we were growing apart. Like, I was 19 when I met him, and now I'm like, I have opportunities to, like, see the world and, like, do things, and, like, you know, I'm changing, I'm growing, and I wasn't always, like, the best wife either, you know? So, like, yeah, like, we just didn't, it didn't work out.
I don't really
feel like it had so much to do with my choice of career other than the fact that I had, like, a lot of really crazy opportunities, you know, but this one is.
Let me ask you this. What was your, if somebody never seen your work before, nobody's ever seen a Sarah J film before, what, you done a lot of films, so this is going to be hard, but what would you show them to show, like, this is my best film, this is, shows me at my best?
I don't know, but those stories that you guys have posted, I was going through them before I went on. I was like, wow, you got clips of all the good scenes. Like, good job. Like, I was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
You just research, you put that together. I need to, like, download your story. Like, this is, like, my work.
This is my work.
This is my work here. Yeah, good job on that, right?
I appreciate that, but it's a scene I do want to ask you about. I don't. Maybe I'm looking too deep into it. All right. So it was a scene with you, Rico Strong, and Ethan Hunt, right?
Okay.
And like, you had like a pink like bikini on or something like that. You spit in Ethan Hunt's face, and it don't look like you were supposed to do that. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but it looked like some type of thing happened maybe behind the scenes while you spit in his face like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I peeped that.
No, it's how I show my love and affection.
You're lying to me. You're lying to me.
Oh, my God. No, before scenes happen, like, you know, we usually have, like, you know, we have a conversation about the scene a little bit, you know?
Right.
They wanted it hard. They wanted it nasty. Like, we kind of went over, like, spitting was okay. And, like, you know, like, we kind of, like, went over, like, a little checklist, make sure I was all right with being called certain words.
Right.
Somebody might put a foot on my face or something. Are we cool with this? And I'm like, yeah, everything's cool. And Ethan was cool with spitting in his face.
He looked a little surprised. And Rico looked like, whoa. What the?
Like, I didn't tell him, like, I'm going to spit in your face, like, 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
And it's like no disrespect at all. It's just like being nasty and dirty, and it kind of like elevated the scene and the energy of the scene. Nobody expected that. He didn't even expect that.
Right.
It changed like the energy of the scene, you know?
I got you. So
yeah.
Can you think?
No, Ethan and I were always really cool.
Alright, so you can't think of maybe three of your favorite films you filmed? Like, maybe three of them.
Gosh, it's so hard. You know,
I know, yeah,
over,
yeah.
Like, 3,000 scenes.
You're right,
probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so there's one that people really like that I'm like, yeah, that is a good scene, actually. I think it's, like, listed as, like, the apartment manager on a lot of different sites, where I'm, like, with two guys.
You had the black dress on.
And I think I think that they're gay. Like, I'm the apartment manager.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That's a pretty great scene. Yeah. I really like that scene.
I like that.
A lot of people like that scene. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, a fan favorite that I agree with. I'm
okay.
Like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good one.
My favorite.
The guys were really cool. They had, like, a lot of good energy and stuff, so that was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
My favorite scene of yours, I'm going to tell you my favorite.
I want to know.
Is with Charlie Mack. And like, he's like a mover or something. He got the pool table.
Pool table.
That's my favorite scene. That's
yeah,
what I like.
I saw that in the thing. I'm like, I actually look pretty good in that video.
So you got two more. That's all you got for me. You got two more? Or you?
Okay. Let's see. Oh, one of my first scenes. Like, not my first, like, but early on with, like, Lexington Steele.
Okay.
And Danica Gray and myself were in, like, corsets and we're outside. And,
yeah, that was good.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah, that was a good
hot
one.
Scene,
that was a good one, yeah.
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 I like a lot of my scenes with Lex. We have, like, good chemistry.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Got good. And you got good chemistry with, like, with the on the female side, Angelina Castro and Ava Devine. I feel like y'all got good chemistry. So, now I asked you your favorite scenes. I got to ask you what was your least favorite scenes now.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Right? You try to, like, block that out. Try to delete it from the internet in your mind, right? No, what I'm going to say is going to surprise you. There was a scene that I did. It was a solo fetish scene. And it was a smoking scene. And it was like, I just quit smoking cigarettes. And it was a really hard thing for me because I smoked a lot. I smoked like 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And I was 24 when this happened, right? I just quit smoking and I didn't know it was a smoking fetish scene. And so, like, when I get there, he's like, yeah, I can't see a cigarette. And he's like, you're going to smoke this during the seed. And I'm like, but I've got like 7 minutes to battle this out in my head while I'm using the bathroom. You know, like, I'm going to have to use the bathroom. And I'm like in the bathroom peeing and I'm like, do I say no because I don't smoke anymore, like, and then I lose the money, and like, is it really that big a deal? I mean, you smoke for 12 years, and so like, I'm really bad, I've got like bad resting bitch face, and I'm really bad with like covering up my emotions. So when I see that scene, I'm like, I know it was going through my head, and I can see it on my face, and I'm like, you should not have done that because you just look miserable. Like, you look miserable, that whole stupid little thing.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I never saw that scene, because when people tell me they were scenes, it makes me look at the scene all different. Like, damn, I can't even enjoy it anymore. So I'm glad I never saw that. Let me ask you, is there things that you would do at home that you won't do on a set, like in a scene?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything.
Because people...
No. My general rule is, like, knowing all, like... But, like, everything else is pretty good. I'm pretty open-minded.
Do you do anal in your private life?
No.
Not at all? Have you done it before? have you done it before?
I would be lying to say I haven't done it before, but I would not do it again.
Got you. I understand that. All right. Yeah.
I understand.
You know, like, okay, I'm gonna break it down. I'm gonna try to keep this brief, but like, those two holes are about this far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you stick it in something more hospitable? I don't understand. It's like, it's like totally clean and nice and warm in there, and it's all wet and juicy and stuff. And the other one is like a hostile environment.
Look, you have to do no convincing.
You're
with
not
me.
Alone.
I don't like doing girls in the anal, so you ain't got to do no convincing over here.
You're not alone.
I'm with you. I enjoy the pussy just enough. I'm cool right there. I'm cool. Not you, Tech.
Okay.
Let me ask you. You've been in the game a long, long time. Have you ever fallen for a co-star before?
Oh, wow. I don't really fall for people like that, to be honest with you. That's just not, I don't know. Like, I don't really fall for people. I enjoy their company. I might enjoy their sex. Might enjoy their companionship. But, like...
Have you ever enjoyed that offset? Offering?
Sure, many times.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like, definitely.
Right.
I think that's sometimes what makes your scenes better. It's like, if you can develop friendships with people, you know, it's nice.
Right, yeah, that's true.
It's better than working with strangers every day.
Yeah. In the scene, are you actually enjoying it, or is it all acting? Like, do you usually enjoy what you're doing, or is it mostly acting?
I was
going to
ask that.
I usually, like, make a solid attempt to enjoy what I'm doing.
Give me a percentage of the times you enjoy it and the times you don't.
I would say like 80% of the time I'm like enjoying it.
80%? That's good. Yeah.
That's good. So the 10%, what is it like? 20%, I'm sorry. The 20%, what is it like? I'm like 10. Wait a minute. I got 10. Okay. 20%.
Maybe I'm like a little stressed out, or like my mind is other places sometimes, you know, like. Sometimes, like, you got shit on your mind. I've been doing this 20 years. Like, I don't go into work every day with a clear head, you know? Also, sometimes when I'm directing and I'm performing in the same scene I'm directing, it's hard to, like, switch gears. Like, to go from, like, thinking about how this looks and how it's lit up and, like, what position I want things in and, like, how I want him to pop and, like, all the director stuff. And also, like, switch gears right back to, like... trying to enjoy and relax and like look sexy and feel sexy, you know?
So it's more like a natural thing all the time.
Yeah, like I try to just like be natural and just enjoy myself and enjoy my co-star, but also be professional enough that I'm like leaving room for you guys to enjoy it too, because you have to like open up to the camera, you know, and be conscious of like how you look a little bit and like what I'm showing, what, you know.
Yeah. This is a question that like one of the fans wanted to know. What do you say to people who say porn is demeaning to women?
Oh, I totally don't think that all porn is demeaning to women. I mean, there's some porn that's demeaning to women, but there's a lot of different porn out there. That's just like saying movies are bad. Like, there's so many kinds of movies, you know? Like, there's so many different kinds of porn. Like, some is demeaning to women. Some's demeaning to men. Some is uplifting. Like, some is inspiring. You know, there's, like, all different kinds of porn.
Absolutely.
What do you say to people who say porn gives men an unrealistic view of sex?
I mean, like, okay, so that's so debatable because, I mean, does it? Like, I mean, I guess it does sometimes, but maybe it's, like, inspiring. You know, like, maybe you see me do some, like, crazy pile driver position, you're like, you know what, I'm gonna break that out at home, hold on. So, like, right, yeah. Is it so much that it's an unreal, I feel like the person that's saying that doesn't want to have, like, really exciting sex, or sex out of, like, the ordinary, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that, like, you know, seeing other people do it, it's, like, inspiring, like you could get some like ideas. I wish I would have seen more people do it before. Like, that would have made my experience like totally different. I would have been like, hold up, wait, I've been waiting for this.
Right.
Squat on this thing. Right.
Like, I've been waiting for this. What are some of the biggest misconceptions people you think have of porn stars?
That we're like porn stars 24/7, and then we're all like crazy, wild drug addicts who like rip off our clothes at like every given moment and have sex with everyone in the room.
Right. When I was young, I'm not gonna lie, I probably thought that.
Don't count on it. But right. It's, like,
so don't count on it. How do you feel about people that download your movies illegally?
How do I feel about what?
People that download your movies illegally.
Yeah, well, I mean, give me money somehow then. Like, there's plenty of ways to, like, the thing is like, it's not sustainable to do that. So, like, you should realize that. I mean, there's plenty of things like YouTube and Patreon and like all these things where it's like you're enjoying the work that I do, like, could you please give me some money for it? I would appreciate it.
So like stuff like the porn hubs and stuff like that, are you a fan of like a porn hub or
Xvideos? I'm okay with it. I mean, it wasn't always there, you know, and so before all this tube sites and the free stuff was there, like, of course we were like in a better situation right. without mm-hmm. it. But now that it's there, you have to deal with it, and they've like worked it out with us that we get paid from it, you know, so that's cool. I mean, it's not like anything what we should be getting paid from it, if you ask anybody, I'm sure, but at least we get something. And then the other thing that sucks is, you know, Visa just pulled their funding for Pornhub and like some of the other sites, so people are getting even less now.
Gotcha. Yeah. So is there, I know like most of y'all have a list of people that you won't work with and people that you don't work with. Can you give us one name off a list, off that list that you won't work with? Just one name.
No. Long, no. No, it's not fair to like, and not only that, but like, I'm the kind of person, like, if I don't like you, I'll just like delete you from like my voice. Like, we won't even talk about you.
Right.
Because you don't deserve me to say your name.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Don't feed it.
Like that. So look, Miss Sarah J, while I was doing research,
I'm pretty, like, I like a lot of people. Like, I'm pretty like easy to get along with. So I only have like two people on my list. Like, I like everybody pretty much.
Two people on that list. I think I might know one person, but I'm not gonna say it. I ain't gonna say it. So
thank you,
well, listen, now while I was doing my research on you, right, I found out, I don't know if this is true or not, you can confirm it, Barack Obama, he was following you on Twitter?
He did follow me on Twitter, yeah, for years.
When did you first realize he was following you? And how did that make you feel?
2008.
And how did that make you feel? So, damn, right when he became president in 2008, right? So, as soon as my man became president. So, how did that make you feel? Like, you like, damn, Barack following me?
I'll be honest, it didn't make me feel any kind of way, like, at all. Like, everybody else thinks it's a thing. And I'm like, I'm sure there's famous people that follow a lot of famous people. Like, who cares? Like, I mean,
But it's Barack Obama. This is not a famous person. This is the president of the free world. Like, this ain't just... this ain't just Matthew McConaughey.
So he's not entitled?
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. Yeah, I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying I would feel...
I don't know if he followed. I don't know why he followed me. I don't know if he followed me because he liked my work. I don't know if he followed me because I supported him and his campaigns and, like, you know, all that shit. Like, this is back in the day when, like, you know, people followed other people who followed them on Twitter. It was like, if you follow me, I'll follow you. So, like, who knows? I don't know.
Alright, so you do a lot of interracial scenes. Do you view sex outside your race as a fetish, or is that something you really practice outside of your life?
So, I think that a lot of people fetishize having sex outside of their race, and I choose to normalize it.
Okay. Explain that. How do you normalize that?
Because I don't make it a big deal that my co-star is a different skin color. They just are. Like, it's not part of the story. You know, it's not like... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I might be having an affair with my boss in a scene that I'm producing, and my boss might happen to be black, but it has nothing to do with the scene.
Right. I see that. Yeah. So do you still use the term interracial?
I hate using that term, but unfortunately, because of like SEO and stuff like that, it's really hard to get away from. It's definitely something that we're trying to get away from, mm-hmm. and something that we even try to, like, we've recently tried to start, like, staying away from, like, any kind of, like, color descriptors and, you know, stuff like that. So it's, like, a new way of thinking, and it takes a little bit of time and stuff to, like, have changes, but that's definitely the direction that our minds go in, like, as far as Wide Side Productions goes, you know?
So what is something you would want to call it then? If not interracial, what would you want to call it?
Right. I just don't know. No, I really don't. That's why it's, like, hard, you know? Like, I think, like, there's a skin fetish, like, in there somewhere. Like, the contrast of colors, you know? Like, I don't know. It's not like I'm not aware that there's racist people out there that like to watch racially charged scenes. I'm aware of that, and I don't approve, and I try not to be part of that, and I definitely don't produce anything like that. So I think that people that have different skin colors having sex is really pretty, like, first and foremost. And then second, like, personally for me, it's like a symbol of, like, peace and love and unity and, like, all this stuff, because people that are different, that grew up differently in different cultures, are, like, coming together to do it. That's pretty high.
Right. While I was also doing my research, like, they called you the porno revolutionary. Like, that was, like, the title for Sarah J was the porno revolutionary.
That's, you know what I'm awesome. Saying? I've never heard
that. I see it. Right? I saw that. And I'm going to tell you why I said
that's
that.
Awesome.
I'm going to tell you why I said because your productions company, your goal with your production company is to make films more realistic to real life. More realistic to real life relationships, and give the adult film stars choices on their characters and how they want to be portrayed in their films. Is that
absolutely?
Can you elaborate on that?
You know, I think that everybody should have a say in it. The biggest thing I think that porn does is fetishize race, you know, and that really, really bothers me. And it's such an easy thing to, like, fall into that groove and do, you know, but you can't do that. Like, so many, yes, it's like a whole thing. I've been talking about that for, like, days and days and days. Like, it's very upsetting. But, no, like, I try to make, like, stuff that's, like, what I would consider classic storylines, with different types of people. And a lot of times when you look at somebody who grew up like I did with all white people around me, I never saw people that didn't look alike have sex. Like, of course, I wasn't really watching porn, but like, if I was to imagine it, I saw people all around me that looked alike. So like, I never would have thought about people different looking having sex, you know?
Right.
So I feel that just normalizing that kind of thing and making it just, like it's no big deal. Like, it shouldn't really be a big deal, you know? Important to me. Like, that's kind of like my goal in life through porn at this point, is to do that.
Right, right. When did you first realize that you were kind of, that you were into that? Because like you said, you didn't even think about it. Everybody around you was the same. You just pictured the same people having sex. But when did you realize, like, oh, no, we can have sex with this person over here and this person over there? When did you come to that realization?
Like, the guy, like, as soon as I started meeting people that were not white. Like, the guy I lost my virginity to was not white. And, like, my husband was not white, you know? Like, I was like, oh, these people are, there's, like, a whole bunch of different people out there in the world, and this is great to, like, come across them and learn about them and, like, enjoy their culture and the things that they can bring to the table, you know? It's great. But then when it came to porn, and I started doing porn, I started, you know, having sex with black guys, like, on film, like, right in the beginning of my career, and I didn't even think anything of it. For a lot of people, that's, like, a milestone of some sort that I never really understood, like, but, once I started to realize that, like, this was a thing, and that, like, companies would ask me what my IR rate was, and they would, ask me if I would work with a black guy, and I'm like,
damn.
How dare you guys ask me this crazy stuff? Like, are you serious?
Right. That's crazy.
Why wouldn't I? Like, of course, like, I'm not gonna charge more. That's silly.
That's crazy.
Like, no, it was crazy. And so then, you know, that always kind of bothered me. And then I became friends with a lot of people in the industry and a lot of people that are not white, you know? And hearing the shit that they deal with and the things that companies say to them and the things that girls and other performers say to them, it's like, yo, this is not cool. And this is like an issue. Like, it might not be an issue for me, but this is an issue for them. It's an issue for a lot of other people. So I've always tried to do what I could do to, like, make a change.
Right, right. So is it true, like, if a white actress works with a black actor or do interracial, does it help hurt her reputation in the industry or damage her?
I mean, against, like, amongst, like, the racists, yeah, the racists aren't going to want to be fans of hers anymore.
Right, yeah.
Like, right. But not in general, no.
Because, like, I've heard that.
Just think about this. You section yourself off from, like, an entire group of people by not doing something. And just like I section myself off from an entire group of people by not choosing to do anal, you know? But that's my choice.
Right.
Because I don't want to do anal. And so if you section yourself off from an entire group of people because you don't want to have sex outside your race, your obvious fan base is going to be smaller. Can you imagine what a crazy super duper star I would be if I did anal too?
Yeah.
You know, like, I would be even more of a star than I am now. So, like, whenever you don't do something, you're sectioning off a fan base that wants you to do that. So, yeah, like, I feel like it hurts your career by not doing it.
That makes perfect sense. Now, let me get to more juicy questions. All right, so I remember when you, I don't know, maybe this is just a figment of my imagination, but I do remember you and, like, Angelina and Castro, you had, like, a Team BJ thing. And y'all was just like, if you followed you on Twitter, like, you can get a blowjob from Sarah J. am I just imagining this, or this was real?
This was real.
How did that work? Like, so, if somebody's a follow you on, like, I think maybe the Miami Heat had to win a championship or something. And she's
like, so, like, it was, like, a series of things. The Miami Heat had to win a championship. You had to follow me and Angelina on Twitter. You had to make your way to Miami. filmed.
All right. I would have did all that. Why didn't I do that? Like, I don't understand. What happened? Something happened. Why? So how many people actually showed up that you had to do that with?
I think it was like 6.
That's it?
It was like 350,000 people were like eligible and only like 6 worked out.
They didn't believe it.
Yeah, most people didn't believe it. And then they didn't believe it. A lot of people, what's weird? And I've always found this very interesting. It's like people are scared to get tested. Mm. Like, we had so many people that were like totally down until you get to the tested part and they're like,
They don't want to know.
Some people just don't want to know. Some people, but that's crazy.
No, you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
That's a fact. You definitely need to know. But now let me ask you this though: if you said 350,000 people were eligible, if all those people came, it was no way you and Angelina can handle that. It's no way.
Yeah, I think we probably made some other like rule that I don't know.
Short haircut or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
What
an
app, right?
Like, 1 second.
It's like to make another loop that's for them to jump through or something, you know?
Right, yeah. Cause that would be crazy. All of them showed up.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Now, you naturally.
I did it a second time too. I did it with Siri. And Siri and I, we did 14 guys, I think.
When the third jump?
my engineer want to know when the third one happened.
No.
So let me ask you. So you naturally have like a nice bottom, a nice body, but like with all the fake butts going around, did you ever feel pressure to get body enhancements? Because nowadays,
not at all. As a matter of fact, I've even thought about like getting my tits taken out.
Don't you do that?
Yeah, I've got a really nice butt, by the way. You know all these girls that got fake butts?
Yeah.
I inspired that.
I know.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
You keep that. Don't think.
Why would I change mine? You know, like, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
And that's I'm working out a lot more now, so it's, like, even more perky. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, that's a fact. Is there any... So, because, like, all right, we had somebody on the show who said it's a role they wouldn't take in a porn. Like, they wouldn't do the stepmother and the stepson type thing. They wouldn't do that. Is there anything you wouldn't do in a scene?
I don't do any kind of step family, no taboo. I don't do anything like that. There's sometimes certain things that come across my desk, and I'm like, no, not doing that. You know, so it's occasional, but... Yeah, there's a few things.
Okay, all right. Now I gotta ask this. You can.
You want to know what? But it's like the imagination that these people have. Because I do custom videos and stuff too, and you're like, no. Like, I don't do race play. Obviously, I think that should be obvious. But my other, do race play. There's some like domination that I'm like comfortable with, and some I'm not. So it just like depends, you know, on what it is. It's just there's certain things that make me feel uncomfortable. I have to just like analyze it by a case by case basis and be like, I don't know if you like doing that actually.
Got you. Yeah. I got you.
I get it.
So okay. I gotta ask you this. You can pass, you can say no, you can answer it. Like I said, I did my research. You are linked to Talib Kweli. is there truth?
I am linked to Talib Kweli. Is
that any truth in the room?
I need that.
We're friends.
Just friends? Cause you are like a real big hip hop fan, right?
I am.
Yeah. What's your favorite rap group?
The Roots.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hands down.
All right. Not Mos Def and Talib Kweli. Not them.
I like Black Star, yes, and I like Talib, yes, and I like Mos, yes. But The Roots is probably like my favorite.
But do you like Talib a little more?
No, like literally we're friends. Like we had a mutual friend introduce us like years ago, and like I go to the shows, my mom's gone to shows and stuff, like yeah.
I got you.
All right, so we got a segment on the show where it's called This or That. I'm gonna give you two situations, and you pick which one you'd rather do. Gotcha. All right, so first one is, would you rather suck your man's toes, or would you rather eat his ass?
Eat his ass.
Shocked me, surprised me with that
one. You did surprise me with that one. You did surprise me with that one, honestly.
Mrs.
Okay,
Jay,
go ahead.
Jay, can I come see you?
Yeah, you did surprise me with that one. But
Okay. We got a firecracker. We got a live one. All right. Would you rather have a threesome with two guys or a threesome with you and another woman and one guy?
He's taking all my questions. Go ahead.
Jeez. So I'm so considerate. I would say the girl boy one, because guys usually enjoy that more, and then like everybody's happy. But I do get really excited at a boy girl. Yeah, but like, it's gotta be like the right one. You can't just throw like two guys together. It's gotta be like two guys that are friends or something. That's pretty exciting.
Two friends. All right, so that leads to my next. Would you rather? Would you rather have drunk sex or we're not supposed to be doing this sex? Meaning, like, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this sex. Like maybe a guy friend that y'all never took it there, but you took it there one time. Or maybe your boyfriend's brother or something like that. That type of situation. Which one would you rather do?
Oh, that's maybe my Achilles heel right there. Yeah, like, we're not supposed to be doing this sex, okay, for sure.
What's the perfect situation?
Cool sometimes, but then sometimes I lose energy, you know, and I'm just like,
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So what would be your perfect situation in the we not supposed to be doing this sex? Like,
we can't even talk about this. That's why we can't. No, we can't talk about this. It's things you can't talk about. You gotta keep the
locks
away.
Got you. Yeah. All right. Would you rather do a gangbang scene or a girl on girl scene? Give me a number, Ted.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Four.
I was going to say four.
I'll do the gangbang.
Over the girl?
Yeah. What? Yeah, like, I mean, I like girl, but, like, the thing is you got to find the right partner in order to make it, like, a really good girl scene. And, yeah, like, four guys sounds pretty exciting.
So, if somebody, what you about to say? Go ahead, T.
No,
Roman. Go ahead, T. Roman.
I'm in there. I'm just listening. I'm getting all my brownie points.
So if somebody, like, what's the best way? Cause I know you probably get approached in the streets a whole lot. Like, it probably goes crazy when you go out in the streets. What's the best way to approach Miss Sarah J? Would you approach somebody, though?
If you feel like you need to make the approach,
yeah.
I would say, like, just be humble and nice and treat me like a human. Treat me like I'm just a regular person, you know?
Right.
Like, think about what you say before you say it. Like, so many times people are like, oh, my God, I jerk off to you all the time. Right. That's probably the best way to approach
right.
You really
want
to, like, have a conversation.
It's best not to be a fan.
You know?
So yeah. We got 30 seconds left. The same, we got 30 seconds left. So can we if it goes off, can we come right back and continue when it goes off?
I'm going to have to get going soon, unfortunately.
All right.
Yeah.
So 15 seconds. So plug whatever you need to plug and let your people know where they can find you.
SarahJLinks.com, and of course
you got my
Instagram right.
Go.
That was good.
Sarah J. told you a lot of niggas gonna be in that joint.